On a screen, a large bird operated by someone inside a costume danced. Its movement slowed and it stretched its pantagium towards the camera, tapping at it gently with its digits. The bird's eyes drew down to slits, and with a lurch it broke the screen with its beak and reached for the little girl's face. She screamed and screamed, and there was a popping sound, and she found herself on her back in her bed, with feathers floating down all around her. This escalated into a feather blizzard, which didn't let up, and now she was suffocating as the feathers, a mind of their own, forced themselves into her scoffing mouth. When she awoke, she was sat opposite her brother at the kitchen table, and two birds were serving slugs to their plates. At daybreak, all the other children in the village had risen, eyes opening like bank vaults, wires tripped before the heist, black balaclavas pulled down over rotten features, guns stuffed in pockets. At the foot of their beds, a new uniform lay neatly folded. It consisted of trousers for the boys, skirts for the girls, blue shirts and berries. The berries had the insignia of a winged serpent on them. There was also a neatly polished pair of black boots, and here they'd stomped through streets with tanks that stripped buildings of their dignity, pulled babies from their prams of fire. The March of the Slug. The children left their homes and joined one another in the street. Isn't it great not having any parents anymore? No more orders, no more bans. The fences are down, the perimeter is breached. We can do what we want. Freedom. These were all words the little girl heard as they yomped towards school, feet with a life of their own. Only forward, no movement to the left or to the right, their heads pointing the way, no deviation from the track. At the end of the street was the school. The last time the children were there, it was in a state of disrepair. Shutters hung like scorned hookers waiting for their johns. Windows black with shame. The holes in the roof made the structure whistle, and the sign was peppered with buckshot blasts from the older kids, drag racing and high on the hooch. Sick, vain reeds climbed through its walls. Today was different. It glowed wholesome. It no longer resembled a salon of yore, or even a building from Earth from that matter. It was what an alien had created in its dreams, and two vast elevated walkways stretched out over the trees as if it were ready to fly. A hole at the centre bled light, and the children walked towards it. There was urgency in this concrete beach. Cave people stood with spears jabbing at the screen. The explosion on the television draws you in. A mushroom cloud rises from the earth. When the dust and debris settles, a muddy track snakes towards a grey and drizzled vista. The trees are naked and the root is clawed. The sheep are on their sides gasping for breath. Goldfish spilled from a fair brown bag. The air is dank and the village on the hill is gone. At the end of the track, there's a single farmhouse. It's dilapidated but manages to continue functioning as a home of sorts. There's a rusty wheelbarrow by the front door and some dried flowers at breaking point. Some flies buzz around the door and stick themselves to the wall. They're louder than air conditioning units struggling in an outback bar populated by lowlifes and kangaroo killers. A man stabs another man in his eye with a pen, and his eye shatters. This is the only snow to greet the desert floor in a decade.